Well, I've got to say that even as a kid, I've always wanted to be an auditor. What a fun life. But I've been in a constant state of existential anxiety, not knowing whether or not I should be an external auditor or an internal auditor. But thanks to my therapist, I've learned the difference, and I think it's important that we all understand what the key differences are between external and internal auditing. And I think this picture depicts it quite well. Really, an external audit for New South Wales government and local governments and shires is generally, almost always, undertaken by the New South Wales Audit Office, the Auditor General, New South Wales. Whereas internal audit is undertaken, of course, by staff within an agency and or third parties who are contracted with specialist knowledge in particular areas. That might be records management, security, business continuity, disaster recovery, etc. All of those things to help supplement internal audit personnel within an agency. External audit usually focuses on the adequacy, the completeness, the accuracy, the integrity of an agency's financial statements. And they'll assess and examine and assure the internal control system within an agency so that they can place reliance on the data that flows from the financial systems. So really, they may never actually drill down and examine an agency's records management program. Internal audit, however, might and probably should look at very specific elements of internal control. And the key difference is that internal audit generally goes deeper, and they'll test and verify and assure and look for ways to improve records management and other disciplines as well. Having done that, an external auditor might rely on the work that's been undertaken by an internal auditor. So if the internal auditor has reviewed and assessed your records management program and disciplines, then the external auditor might rely on that information in support of the financial audit. But most importantly, as you can see, internal auditors are way more cool and friendlier than external auditors. And to prove that, here are my front row seats to the Lady Gaga show coming up in June. Yeah. I take it that this will now be a state record. But how does all of this come about? How does an internal audit occur for a records management program? It all stems from an annual enterprise-wide risk assessment that is undertaken using ISO 31000. And as part of that risk assessment, the Audit and Risk Committee of an agency will determine what should go into the internal audit program. And some of the higher risk elements that have been prevalent over the last 1, 2, 3 years have been things such as business continuity, disaster recovery, information and IT security, information management and records management, and so on. I'll talk about some of the more interesting things that have been popping up of late, later on. But once that internal audit plan is determined based on that annually updated risk assessment, then it's up to the internal auditor to collaborate and negotiate with the records manager to determine the precise scope and terms of reference or the focus of that records management internal audit review. And that can have different flavours depending on what the risk element or the threat profile of the organisation is. And I mean, this is usually the response that we get when we start negotiating with the records officer. But after we get through all of that, these are the types of things that the records management internal audit might focus on. So it might be, does the agency actually comply against the state records requirements in terms of the requirements of the Act, but also the standards that are issued by the State Records Authority? Does the agency actually implement and comply its own records, comply with its own records management program? Sometimes it looks nice on paper, but it can't be empirically demonstrated. Sometimes, though, the focus of an internal audit records management review might be security focused, and I'll talk more about this because I think it is quite important, especially over the last 3 years. And or the focus might be on vital records recovery, continuity and availability. Of late, though, because of the timelines and the deadlines that are approaching because of the standard on digital record keeping, this might be the focus. Or it could be very specific, you can't see, but I'll call it out. It might be specific to the government vertical industry, such as in healthcare, it could be particularly focused on data governance. So records privacy, quality, security, etc. So let's take a look at some of these in a little more detail from an internal audit perspective. Let's start by the audit of record security. Well, actually, no, let's talk about records management program. My records are in a state of flux here that I'm reading from. It's terrible. But if we were to come in and take a look at an organisation's records management program, of course, the lead authority is Section 12.2 of the State Records Act, which requires an agency to establish and maintain a records management program. And in fact, there is a particular standard on records management programs, Standard 8. Standard 8, yes. What a nerd. He knows off the top of his head. These are the types of things that we would check. Is the records management program directed by a policy, not just a nice bit of paper with nice words? It has been approved? Has it been communicated throughout the organisation? Is it continually improved? Have people been trained and made aware of their roles and responsibilities within the organisation? Has it been planned? Are there identified people who are responsible, the nominated senior officer, etc.? Have resources been assigned? And do the policies and procedures actually reflect the requirements of each of the standards issued by the State Records Authority? We would check whether the program is driven by skilled people, not just you as the records manager or the records officer, but each of the people who are identified as having a role to play in creating, storing, and maintaining, managing an agency's records. We've spoken about this, and often an internal auditor would find that not all aspects of the policy within an organisation have been implemented. For example, emails, critical emails, are not always treated as a formal record and not always recorded within a records management system. Web 2 records might not be appropriately treated as well. Is it monitored and reviewed? And I know that Lydia will be talking about this after this session, but is there, pardon me, is there an, sorry? Oh, okay. Is there an element of continual improvement as well? Flavours of ISO 9000, corrective action, preventive action, are lessons learnt from other agencies and organisations, and so on. And does the agency also comply with the other mandatory requirements that are set out by State Records, including the 6 standards? And particularly, as you'll hear later on, the recently renewed and refreshed and quite fabulous Standard 11. So they're the types of things that we'd look for as part of records management program internal audit review. But sometimes the focus of the review might be on record security, in which case we'd refer to section 11(1) of the State Records Act, which requires the public office to ensure the safe custody and proper preservation of state records. And this could be of two forms. It could be security over physical records, hence standard 11, for example. I won't go into this too deeply. Catherine will cover this in more detail, but these are the key topic areas that would be addressed as part of the physical security review of physical storage. Interestingly though, the other side of the coin is security over digital records and the electronic storage of those records. And here are some of the elements that I've personally looked at over, say, the last year, the last six internal audits that I've conducted. Apart from all of the compliance elements set out in the standards, if we are to look at the security aspects of digital storage of records, we'd want to gain assurance of these different layers of the IT environment. So whether an agency is running, for example, TRIN on a Windows server, then we would take a look at the network layer controls. What are all of the gateways into the network which hosts the TRIM server, for example? It's not just restricted to TRIM. It could also be security over the file server, the email server, if they themselves are being used as EDRMSs. We'd look at things like firewall configuration, the DMZ structures, where the actual records management system sits within the network. Do you allow web access? How is that controlled? So on and so forth. We'd look at the server layer control. So how is the, for example, the TRIM's systems, underlying operating system being hardened and patched? Is appropriate antivirus control deployed and so on? Then we'd work our way through the database layer. TRIM in your organisation might be running using a SQL database, so we'd look at particular elements of hardening and patching within the SQL database as well. Then at the application layer as well, this is where we start getting into TRIM itself or Objective or whatever other system you might be using. What is the... Are the folder and file and directory permissions over records appropriately defined? Has the records owner and or the custodian defined what the access controls ought to be? And here's an interesting one as well. Endpoint layer controls over electronic records. In today's era, where we have bring your own devices, iPads, iPhones, etc., what are the controls that are being applied over records that are either transacted and or stored via or using those devices? Of course, antivirus and anti-malware at each of those layers, and whether the organisation has an appropriately defined and demonstrably tested incident identification and response procedure. So what if information is leaked? Would the agency identify that? And if so, what would they do about it? And the ISO 27001 standard, which is called Information Security Management Systems, I think, actually encapsulates all of these disciplines and controls into an ISO standard. So it's based on the flavours of continual improvement, ISO 9000, and risk management, ISO 31000. It specifically talks about data and records management, section 15, and compliance against any applicable standards and legislation as well, such as the State Records Act. The other hot topic over the last 3 years has been an internal audit, an audit of records availability, continuity and recovery. I know that the audits are general focused not just on records continuity and availability, but generally disaster recovery across across government agencies. And again, Section 11.1 of the State Records Act talks about the need for safe custody and proper preservation. And there is Standard 6, which talks about counter-disaster strategies. And these are the elements that it discusses and puts forward. A risk assessment should be conducted. Some people call this a business impact assessment. Standards Australia has Handbook 2-1, which talks about business continuity management, and is quite similar to, precisely similar to the approach defined in Standard 6, which is all about determining what could really hurt the agency if a threat materialised, and putting this with a records manager's hat on. What are the vital records of the agency? What could go wrong to those? Could it be excess rain and flooding of stored records? Could it be, thinking laterally, could it be key people within the organisation become unavailable, such as yourselves, who know all about records and the records management structure and the metadata aspects of the organisation's EDRMS, etc.? So, it could be IT systems become unavailable and so on. This is the level. Is that my reminder? Okay. I thought you were telling me to hurry up. But, business impact assessment, that's risk assessment based on ISO 31000. Planning. Are there appropriate business continuity and disaster recovery plans in place? Have they been tested or do they just look nice on paper? And of course, vital records, have they been identified? Are they protected, not just after an event, but what are the mitigating controls to help prevent the threat from materialising? And are they reflected in resilient business continuity and IT disaster recovery plans? The other side of this coin is greater than records management. It's for the agency as a whole. So does the agency as a whole have a defined business continuity plan to continue to deliver its key business processes? Within that, though, has it identified the key resources that it requires to enable those key business processes, including vital records? And are there documented and tested IT recovery plans to restore... sorry, I'm not going late, it was just a flea. Are there IT recovery plans to restore key IT systems such as TRIM, Objective, within maximum acceptable outages and to recovery point objectives? So in other words, is the data owner or custodian willing to lose data if the system went belly up as at last night's backup? Or is that vital record so vital that you can only tolerate a recovery point objective as at 1 hour ago, in which case IT needs to consider things like mirroring, replication, so on and so forth. These are all very real and valid considerations for an agency, and these are the things that an internal auditor should be examining. There are some fantastic agencies with mature records management capabilities that I've seen over the last 22 years within New South Wales government. And these are some of the lessons learnt from those agencies. Some of the good things include the concept of an integrated management system. So is records management actually running in isolation, or has it been integrated with other risk and management system components within the organisation, such as ISO 27000 information security management systems, such as business continuity management, etc.? So the key point here, or the lesson learnt, is integrate, see if you can integrate records management with other disciplines across the agency. Has records management been integrated with knowledge management? I think that's the correct records in brief 26 for that. Now, we were talking about the integration of knowledge management. I think records officers have a great role to play in that discipline. So that is a lesson learned from mature organisations as well. Here's another one that you'll hear about in a second. Is the records management program being continually improved? So are there corrective actions, preventive actions that are identified either from shortfalls that have been experienced within the agency itself, either from internal or external audit, or from attending these types of gatherings? And importantly, with the upcoming deadlines, is the agency complying with the standard on digital record keeping and meeting the compliance timetable as well? Is the agency appropriately treating its Web 2 records? Many agencies now have Twitter feeds, certainly YouTube, even the Internal Audit Bureau are so conservative. We now have a YouTube channel as well. But even data that is, or information or records that are posted on the website, and Facebook, I think you mentioned Blue Mountains as well has a Facebook site. So Guideline 24 actually sets out suggestions and recommendations for that, and we would audit against that. And here is an interesting one as well. Has records management been linked with and or integrated with an agency's enterprise architecture, and particularly within that, the information architecture? I think records managers can add a lot of value, and particularly when an agency is considering either developing or acquiring a new IT system, is records management considered early on in that system's development lifecycle? And does the records officer and manager have input into even the RFQ or the RFT and the evaluation and pre-implementation review and ongoing post-implementation assurance? These are all the things that an internal auditor should examine. So, I think internal audit of an agency's records management program can be a very constructive process. Internal audit should be a collaborative exercise with you, the records officer, to try and identify areas of CAPA, corrective action, preventive action, for continual improvement. The benefit of the IAB, which is really, we are part of New South Wales government, so we have the benefit of seeing good practices across organisations, particularly in records management. You can use that, you can leverage that knowledge of the internal auditor. But I would remind everyone of the fantastic toolkit, the assessment and compliance toolkit that Catherine and the State Records Authority as a whole has developed. Internal audit often uses that as a tool when auditing an agency's records management program. And it would be good if you could use that internally within your organisation as well. Thank you very much for your attendance.